All the information that we have on the big questions in life are found in the Bible. Everything that we can possibly know, and there's a lot that we can't know, but everything that we can possibly know about the big questions, we can know from reading and understanding the Bible. All that we have on those issues is in the Bible. Where did we come from? We can't possibly know that without reading and understanding the Bible. How did we get here? The answer is found in the Bible. How did here get here? Before we got here, there was a here. How did the here get here? Before we got here. Unless I've thoroughly confused you, you can only find the answer to that in the Bible. Is there anything other than here? Is there anything that exists that's not here, that's somewhere else, in another place, another dimension? Those questions can only be answered in the Bible. Again, the amount of information varies on each of those things. And while the Bible will sometimes give basic information, it doesn't always answer every question we have. But what we can know, we know from the Bible. For instance, the created universe, the world and the universe as it is, had a definite point in time. The earth, the universe, space are not infinite. They are not eternal. But they had a definite point in time in which they began to exist. The Bible tells us that in the beginning, God created the heavens. In the beginning, what? The beginning of the universe. God created it. That was its beginning. And it's going to have a definite end. There will come a time that the physical universe no longer exists. But that's not all there is in the universe. What about angels? The Bible tells us that angels existed before the world was made. But that angels had a definite beginning. They are created spirit beings. Angels are not eternal. They had a definite point at which they began. But now that they exist, they will never cease to exist. Humans likewise have a definite beginning. Now we know a lot about the race of humanity. Humanity as a race had a definite beginning. On day 6 of the creation week, when God created man and woman on the earth, a definite beginning. We don't know so much about individual origins. We don't know so much about where we individually, kind of how that happens. The Bible seems to indicate that we do not have pre-existence, that before our conception, we did not exist. But then at conception, we come into being, and then we never stop existing. We will exist somewhere for eternity. And then, of course, there is God. There's God who exists in eternity past. He's always existed. He exists now, and He will always exist, and He will never change. And so these are the basic kind of big issues of life and existence that the Bible tells us about. And then there is this entirely unique being. There is this being that is unlike any other being in at all. There's this being that is not like the earth or angels or humans, who was not created. There is this being that is human, but no mere human, not even simply an exceptional human or an enlightened human. He's a human, but he's not just a human. He's not an angel. He's clearly differentiated in Scripture. There's a difference between him and the angels. He's higher than the angels, and yet he became a man, so he was lower than the angels, and now he's higher than the angels again. And he's different from God the Father, for instance. God the Father, who has always been spirit, and yet this unique being has become a man. It's entirely unique. Entirely unlike anything else in the universe. His name, of course, is Jesus, But who is it? What is he? Who is this being that we call Jesus? He is entirely unique in all of human history, prehistory, and everything else. There's no thing like Jesus. You know, what are we told about snowflakes? The actual snowflake, not the person. But what are we told about snowflakes? Right? We're told about snowflakes that what? That they're all unique. That there's not, no snowflake is not. Now, I don't know who decided that. I don't know what person looked at every snowflake that's ever existed and figured that out. But we're told that, so we'll go with it. That all snowflakes are unique. Well, that may be true, but they're still all what? They're still all snowflakes. They're snowflakes, right? We're told that about human beings, right? We're told this all the time. You're unique. There's only one you. Only you can be you. Don't try to be somebody else. Everybody else is taken. Just be you, right? Because you're unique. You have unique inside of you. Unique what? DNA. On your fingers, you have unique what? Unique fingerprints. And so all 8 billion of us are unique, but we're still all what? We're still all human beings. Jesus isn't like that. Jesus isn't like there's that Jesus in the Bible, and he's unique, but there's a bunch of other Jesuses too. We really need to understand that in the entirety of all existence, Jesus is the one entirely unique being, entirely unique and different from everything else. You know, so much so that those who actually encountered him just couldn't figure him out. I think it's interesting that those who actually met Jesus couldn't figure him out, but people in 2023, a lot of us have him all figured out. Academics, all we know who Jesus was, what he was, and we got him all figured out. Even, you know, even believers, we got Jesus all figured out. The people who actually saw him, touched him, heard him, experienced him, all had the same question. You know what that question was? For instance, when Jesus claimed to forgive sin, they brought a man to Jesus who was paralyzed. He's lying on a pallet, a sleeping bag. And they bring him to Jesus. And it's so crowded, they have to tear through the roof to get the man into the presence of Jesus. What do they want Jesus to do? They've gone to all that trouble so Jesus can what? Heal the man. And what does Jesus say? Your sins are forgiven. Well, that's fantastic. I'd like to walk again. That's great. But the Jews who were there latch on to that statement. Wait a minute. You're claiming to forgive sin. You're a man claiming to do what only God can do. You know what their question was? Who is this guy? Who is this? Who is this person who claims to forgive sin? You know that Jesus had complete control of nature? Jesus could do what you and I would like to do during hurricane season. When it's the black of night, like it always is, can't get a hurricane in the daytime, when it's the black of night and it's a Category 2 and it's knocked out the power, then it's going to be the next day, it's going to be all hot, not going to have air conditioning. We would love to be able to walk outside and go, would you knock it off? And it just go, be great. You know what? Jesus did that. Jesus controlled nature. And he was, one time he was in the boat with some of his best friends. They had already been with him for a significant period of time. And they saw him control nature. You know what they said? Who is this? We don't get him. Who is this person? Jesus was engaged in some confounding activities. He confounded the ruler Herod. Jesus is doing miracles and he's teaching. And Herod hears about this, and Herod goes, you know what he asked? You know what he said? Who is this? Who is this person? I can't make anything out about who this person is. You know, celebrity is something that you and I are very familiar with. Celebrity is part of our culture. Did you know that celebrity has not always been a thing? Celebrity hasn't always been a thing. We're used to, you know, the stars on the red carpet and the paparazzi and all. It hasn't always been that way. But do you know who is the biggest celebrity in Jesus' day? Jesus. When Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, they were throwing their coats down in front of him, throwing branches in front of him, shouting out praises. And some of the people watching all that looked around. You know what they asked each other? Who is this? We don't know what to make of this guy. We've never seen anybody made over this way. Who is this person? Now, that time, somebody actually braved an answer. On that occasion, somebody actually made a suggestion. You know what they said? This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Now, what do you think about that answer? This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Were they right? Sort of. Were they right? Well, kind of, sort of right. I mean, he was a prophet. He did grow up in Nazareth, which was in Galilee, but just simply saying about Jesus, he was the prophet from Nazareth, is like saying Michelangelo was a doodler. Or Thomas Edison was a tinkerer. Or George Washington was a politician. I mean, were they? Yeah, but they were a lot more than that. Who and what was Jesus? That's what we're going to investigate, to begin to investigate this morning. We're going to talk about Jesus before he was Jesus. What does that even mean? Well, we're going to talk about that. First of all, I want us to consider this, because this is going to get a little, I don't know, detailed, a little, I don't, technical comes to mind. I don't know how to say it. It's tempting for it to be boring, I guess. I'm just going to put it out there. This will seem to have not much connection to anything that really goes on in daily life. So I want to establish at the beginning why this matters and why you need to really work hard to hang in there, because everything that we're going to talk about makes a big difference. Jesus once made the statement, I'm not from around here, y'all. Jesus once said to those who are around, I'm not from around here. Not like you all. Jesus said, you're from below, down here on the earth. You're just earthly. You're just people. But he said, I am from above. Do you see how he makes a wide distinction between us and him? Y'all are from down here. I'm not from around here. I'm from up there. And we'll talk about that later on, Lord willing. He said, you are of this world. This is your environment. It's where you live. It's where you think. It's where you plan. This is your thing. I'm not of this world. And he said to us this, having said that, unless you believe that I am he, there's a lot there that we can't talk about right now. But he said, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. I want you to get how important Jesus thought it was for us to get this. Your most crucial issue is not, am I going to be able to get the new phone when it comes out? I get that's a big deal. I get that. Your most crucial issue is not, my tires are looking a little thin, am I going to be able to get new tires? It's a big deal. Your most crucial issue is not that person at work's getting on my nerves and I really liked it. That's not your most crucial issue. It's a big deal. What's your most crucial issue? Your most crucial issue is your sin and getting rid of it so that you can have eternal life, because tires and co-workers and phones don't matter compared to that. Jesus said, I want to tell you where I'm from. And unless you get it, you're going to die in sin and be lost forever. Do you see that it matters what we understand about Jesus? And so they ask him a very natural question. Well then, who are you? If it's that big a deal, tell us who you are. And that's what we're, Lord willing, going to answer. You know, maybe you've wondered that too. Maybe you've wondered, what's the big deal about Jesus? Church is named after him. People call themselves Christians. He's got a holiday. What's the big deal about Jesus? I mean, I've heard of him. I don't really know much about him. Or maybe you've heard a lot about him, and maybe you're a Christian. Maybe you're a churchgoer, and there's a lot of factual information that you have about Jesus, but still, it's just not making a connection to life. Why does it matter? It matters who he is. And so, what we're going to answer over the next couple of weeks, hopefully, are questions like, when is he from? That's right, not a typo. When is he from? Where is he from? Who was he with when he was there? What was he doing back then? And at its most basic, who really is he? One of my favorite kinds of stories, particularly with movies, and they've gotten really popular lately, is the origin story. You know what I'm talking about. The origin story. I love origin stories. A lot of times, like superhero movies or things like that, they'll give you the story. They'll tell you a story about the person. So you got a handle on kind of who they are. But then they come out with a movie later. That's the what? It's the origins. It's a prequel. It's the origin story. And it will answer questions like, why is Darth Vader so grumpy all the time? Why does he go around choking people out like that? Can't he just be happy? You know, wear a tie-dye instead of black all the time. What's wrong with Darth Vader? How come Batman runs around risking his life fighting crime? He's a billionaire. Why isn't he on a yacht somewhere taking it easy? Well, the origin story tells you that, right? Or Superman. Good gracious. He can leap tall buildings in a single bound. He can stop a bullet. But he goes weak at the knees at kryptonite in Lois Lane. Why is that? Is that right, Lois Lane? Yeah, that's right. So, origin stories. What we're going to do is begin to look at the origin story of Jesus, if you will, and thinking about when is Jesus from. Might surprise you to learn that Jesus was born 3 years before Jesus was born. That may surprise you. You probably know that B.C. means before Christ. But the dude that came up with the year numbering system back around 525 A.D., he was a monk and he decided that we needed numbers on years, which is really handy. But he numbered it wrong. He got it wrong. By about 2 or 3 years, he got it wrong. And so he put Jesus, so why wasn't Jesus born at 0 B.C.? Well, because he numbered it wrong. Jesus was actually born 2 or 3 B.C., somewhere around there. Now, for us, the year of our birth or the date of our birth is a very definite beginning, and it sets a limit to who we are, what we know, what we've done, right? I was born December 1st, 1967, but back in another century, another millennium, right? I was going to say that again. I was born December 1st, 1967. If you're fairly new here, everybody else knows that already. I want to be sure that you know it. I just looked at it this morning. You have only 299 shopping days until December the 1st. Get busy. So I'm 55 years old. What that means is that I was around for the release of Top Gun in theaters. Not Maverick. Top Gun 1. I went to see it when it came out. I could be there for that because I was born in 67. I saw the Steve Perry lineup of Journey in concert because I'm around for that. Right? I remember Thriller. Right? Remember Thriller came out. I'm old enough. I was born in 67. And so I'm old enough to remember those things. Old enough to have met Colonel Sanders. To have seen Charles Barkley play college basketball, right? So I'm old enough for those things. But before December 1st, 1967, what did I do? I didn't do anything. Before December 1st, 1967, who did I meet? I didn't meet anybody. What did I not know anything? I have no personal experience of the Cuban Missile Crisis. No personal experience of the Great Depression. No personal experience of World War I. Why not? Because I wasn't born yet. December 1st, 1967 is the definite beginning of my existence. Old enough for parachute pants and members-only jackets, but not for stuff before that. Right? That's how it works for us. So Jesus was born when? 3 BC. So what we'd expect is, there's Jesus' birth, 3 BC. Here's all of his experience and all of his knowledge. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that Jesus existed before John the Baptist. You say, wow, big deal. What's the big deal with that? Well, what is the big deal about that? John the Baptist was how much older than Jesus? 6 months. John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. And yet John the Baptist said this. Jesus, he said, is of a higher rank than I because he existed before me. I want you to think about that. John the Baptist was born 6 months before Jesus, but Jesus existed before John the Baptist. It's not supposed to work that way. I'm in my 50s. Ray is in his 90s. Is that right? 70s? 73. So Ray was born 18 years before me. Is that right? 18 years before me. He was born before me. I don't know, whatever. Ray was born before me. It would be like me saying, Ray was born before me, but I was here before Ray was. That you would think I was crazy. But that's what John says about Jesus. You know what? He goes even farther back than that. Jesus was there before Abraham. Jesus made the statement, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. The people standing around said, you're not even 40 years old. Abraham didn't even know who you were. And Jesus said, before Abraham was born, remember what he said? I am. And we'll talk about that later. But before Abraham was born in 2000 BC, Jesus lived 30, died around 30. That would be like me saying, I was around before Julius Caesar was around. Wouldn't make any sense. But that's what Jesus is saying. You know what? Jesus is even older than that. In John chapter 17 and verse 5, Jesus prays before he goes back to the Father. He says, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before what? Before the world was. Jesus existed before there was even a physical universe. That's how old he is. That's how long he's been around. Well, how is that possible? How does that happen? Micah tells us in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, Micah is an Old Testament prophet. And Micah is looking forward to the coming of Jesus. And in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, Micah makes this statement, which is going to explain how Jesus could be older than John the Baptist, Abraham, and the planet. And he says this, from Bethlehem will go forth one to be ruler. His goings forth are from long ago. That's old enough. But then he clarifies. He doesn't want us to miss the point. That the one called Jesus who would be born in Bethlehem to rule God's people actually existed from when? From eternity. Or from everlasting. That's how long he's been around. That's when Jesus is from. Now what that does is give us a couple of terms before we conclude. A couple of terms that I just want to familiarize you with if you're not already familiar with them. Because in your reading, in your listening, you're going to run across them. And I just wanted to give these to you so that when you hear these things thrown around, this is what we're talking about. The pre-existence of Jesus, pre-existence, existing before what? What that means is that Jesus, the person who became Jesus, existed before he became Jesus. That's all that means. I'm David. I didn't exist before I became David. I didn't exist. Before my conception, I didn't exist. There was no David, me. There wasn't David, and then, oh happy day, there was David. Right? But before that, I didn't exist. Pre-existence means that the one who became Jesus is always there, and then at a moment in history, he becomes Jesus. Pre-existence. Closely related to that is this idea of the pre-incarnate or pre-incarnate son. Incarnate means embodied in flesh. Incarnate means embodied in flesh. When we talk about the pre-incarnate son, we mean the Son of God who was a spirit but then went into a physical body. And we call that person Jesus. This is the incarnation, the entrance of deity into human flesh. That is the incarnation, and so we sometimes call him the incarnate son. And so you'll see these terms, and I just wanted to mention them to you so that you'll know what we're talking about. So what does all of this mean? Well, before I get to that, tonight we're going to be talking about John chapter 3 and verses 19 to 20 and a really, really surprising statement that Jesus makes about the kind of person it takes to be saved. One of those times where Jesus is talking along and you're tracking and it's all making sense and you get it, and then he throws something out that makes you go, wait a minute, what? What does that mean? And we'll talk about that tonight from John chapter 3 verses 19 to 21. But for now, what does all of this mean? John makes the statement in John chapter 1 and verse 15. This is John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who was born 6 months before Jesus. John the Baptist said, Jesus is of a higher rank than me. Because, now notice this, because he existed first. In the Bible, very often, first means higher. In the Bible, very often, being first means rank, power, and privilege. Same with us today, right? We have a saying, first come, first served. The one who's first gets whatever it is to be gotten. What does the early bird get? Gets the worm. So if you want to start eating worms, get up earlier. Do that. But who is it that gets the worm? That's the bird that gets there first. He's first. And so he gets, right? We understand this in business, certainly understand it in the military. Part of promotion is based on what? Seniority. Who's been here longer? It gives you privilege. And something that I'm just beginning to start thinking about and learning about, the senior discount. It's amazing how when I was younger, the senior discount was only available to really old people. Now younger people get to have it. I think that's really cool. It's like really, it's like a middle-aged discount now, younger middle-aged. But a senior discount, if you've been here longer, if you've been on the planet longer, you get 10% off. How cool is that? Just the fact that you got here early as a person, you got here earlier, 10% off. Pretty cool. So we understand this idea. Paul said that Adam was appointed by God to be the leader in congregations of God's people, or rather Adam, that males are appointed to be leaders because, Paul says, among other things, Adam was created what? First. There is privilege in being the firstborn son in the Bible. There's privilege to that. Angels are higher than humans. Angels were made first. But angels aren't the highest because there was somebody here before them. Who was it? It was God. So God is greater than angels. Angels are greater than people. Because being first confers rank, power, and privilege. Well, what about Jesus? Jesus existed before John. He existed before Abraham. He even existed before the universe. In fact, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17 says, Jesus existed before what? All things. Jesus existed before any created thing. So you know what Paul said about that in verse 18 of Colossians 1? Therefore, he has come to have first place in everything. Don't miss that. Because Jesus was before all things, he has first place in everything. But not quite everything. He doesn't really, practically, have first place in everything, because it's very possible that he might not have first place in your life or in mine. And that's the question that we need to ask ourselves as we're going to sing this song in just a moment. Ray announced the number. You can get out your songbook and turn to that if you would like to and be ready to sing that. But this is the question that we need to ask ourselves. So here's what the Bible says. Jesus is worthy of first place. And in nature and in the spirit realm, he has first place. But there is one type of being that gets to make the choice as to whether or not he's first. And that's humans. We actually get to decide, do I make him first or not? So nature doesn't get that choice. Nature exalts Jesus as first. We get to make the choice. Is Jesus first in your life? What does that mean? That means whenever you make a decision, do you consider him first? Whenever you spend money, do you think about him first? Before you say something, do you think about him first? Before you do anything at all, do you consider what he wants you to do? So when you put it that way, it's not about I'm in church or I'm a member of a church or I've been baptized or whatever. It's not about that alone. Those are important. But even a churchgoer can put Jesus second or fifth or tenth or 100th. Or not at all. So as we're singing the song, the question we all need to ask is, Jesus is first. Is he first for me? And if he isn't, remember what Jesus said about that. Unless you believe that I am the one I'm telling you I am, you will die in your sins. You may not know what to do about that, but we would love to sit down with you and study the Bible and show you what the Bible says to do about that. So as we're singing the song, you're thinking about that, or maybe you sing it, you go home, you keep thinking about it this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow, next week, you realize something needs to be done. You reach out to us anytime. We're always here to help. But we're all here right now, so if we can help you right now, we want to do that. If you want to know how to make Jesus first, or you're ready to do that, you can let us know as we stand and sing together.